Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get tatted. Get tatted.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Ooh. Afternoons on the Score.
Oh, the smile on Dan McNeil's face when Teddy Greenstein walks into the room. This hour on the Score brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. More horses, more races, more action. Teddy G getting his first look at the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. What's up, my friend?
Is this, should we be playing Reunited and it feels so good?
It really does. Welcome back to the team, man.
Love being here. I mean, the last time I was here, it was a bit of a disaster kind of walking through and avoiding the, you know, the potholes of renovations. Now you guys are in the Taj Mahal. Way
yeah,
to go.
This is pretty nice, right? This is pretty good. We're comfortable here. This is good. This is a step in the right direction for us. I think we became a team this year.
Glad to be back on that team. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
We're doing very well. I pointed out to Mac a couple of weeks ago, because he had not seen what I have to imagine is the easiest assignment you've ever been given. I know your favorite assignment is Augusta.
Correct.
And I know that that is the con that you are running on the people over at Tribune Company to send you every year. Sorry. Spoiler alert. We'll dump that. But when you got the assignment of, can you give people the ABCs on how to sports gamble? Did that column take 5 minutes or did it take all of 15 minutes to write those 1,500 words?
You know, funnily enough, Danny, I thought you were talking about the second best assignment I've ever gotten in my life, which was to go to the United Center and sample the new food choices that are available for Bulls and Blackhawks.
That's a good gig. You've got a great gig.
I'm like Homer Simpson when it comes to restaurant reviews. I give everything 9 thumbs up. I'm just happy when someone offers to cook for me. But that how-to on sports wagering. Yeah, that was all off the top of my head.
I believe you. It read that way. It was awesome.
Degenerate lifestyle we learned began when Teddy Greenstein was just a wee lad growing up in Manhattan. He was the guy running the pools in grade school. Good for you, man. And now we actually can write about it without fear of it being taken out, because we're on the right side of history with sports wagering, finally.
That's right, Danny Mac. Thank God. I mean, back then they called me the bookie. I was collecting $5 per person, and I was creating a grid of NFL games against the spread. I used to read the New York Post, and the Post would have 7 or 8 of their writers go up against the spread. So $5, I think it was winner take all. The only time I was ever in the library was to Xerox the pages with the grids to distribute to people. And absolutely, now we're in an era where you can go to the game. I was at the Jets game on Sunday. At one point, the guy behind me whispers, "Hey, I got a grand on the Jets +7. I'm looking good." So, we've all been freed.
Did you ever get caught or punished for wagering as a young guy? I mean, let's face it. You're talking about what grade is this?
Ooh, this is probably 10,
parents,
11,
teachers.
12th grade.
Okay. I thought it was even younger than that.
Oh, man. Maybe the memory's a little blurry. It is a while ago, but it is hilarious, Danny Mac. I sent that column to my parents, and my mom said, "You did what?"
Uh-huh.
Sure. Of course.
It's how I learned my math skills and my money management skills, Danny Parkins. You know what I'm talking about.
I do. Well, I blame my degeneracy on my parents because they've worked in the market their entire life. I'm like,
same
you guys
thing.
Just do legalized gambling.
That's right.
And they're like, yeah. But if I, you know, invest my clients to, you know, buy into some like biotech stock or something like some pharmaceutical company, it doesn't normally go to zero. If the parents don't cover the spread and you put $100 on it, the next day you have $0.
So they can't handle the swings. We can handle the swings,
it's
the
just,
ups and downs.
I should be an options trader.
I don't remember ever just like pumping my fist and jumping up off the couch after seeing Microsoft have a big day, though. It's something else when you're team covers a point spread.
I mean, many, many years ago, a Boston market opened near me on Ashland near Belmont. And I thought, wow, this is delicious. I think I'm going to invest in Boston market. And I did. And then I think it tanked pretty close to zero about 6 months later. I said, that's the last time I am going to try to invest my own money in something as, you know, ridiculous as a business.
Well, so as ridiculous as a business. So I have the story that is more painful and the exact opposite, because when I was in high school, it was the first time that I had Chipotle, and they were still owned by McDonald's at the time. And when I went to Chipotle for the first time, I ate my burrito. I considered getting a second, but before I did, I called my mom and I said, "Hey, mom, is Chipotle a publicly traded company?" And she goes, "Actually, they're going to be spinning off from McDonald's. They're going public in the next 6 months or something." I'm like, "You should take my college fund and put it in this." Wow. Because the cilantro rice, I think, is laced with cocaine. It's addictive. This thing is going to blow up. And she's like, "Oh my God, I have such a pothead for a son. Like, he's telling me to invest his college fund in Chipotle." It, you know, it's up like 800% or something since then. It's split a bunch of times.
So wait, she did
invested
nothing?
Zero.
Oh,
zero.
Mom.
$0 invested in Chipotle. And, you know, I remind her about it about three times a year.
Well, the good news is, you know, had she done that, you'd be some washout. You know, you'd be some, like, you know, rich, you'd be some millionaire drug addicted guy, and you wouldn't be in the studio right now.
Yeah, exactly. Just addicted. No,
you were half right.
Yeah. So, right. But man, you do those things. You see those opportunities, right. And you're like, "Oh, it's easy. I could pick this winner." And no, you can't.
Teddy,
no, you
can't. I need help. I've been reckless this year. Admittedly, usually I'm pretty disciplined, but I don't play college football. I just play the NFL, and I've been very undisciplined. I have chased. I have played more than three or four games per week.
Yep.
The last three or four years, I've been in the black after the season because I've been disciplined. This year, I don't know what's the matter with me, but I need some winners here because I got to see my guy this week, and yep. I owe him a G.
What is your policy on betting the Bears?
If I believe they'll cover the spread, I'll bet on them. If I believe they won't, I'll bet against them.
You're able to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The only team I wouldn't bet against are the Blackhawks.
I did think the Raiders game set up to be kind of funky and was thinking avoid the Bears.
I bet them.
Yeah, exactly.
I bet them, too.
That was the other one I lost. I lost everything.
It's just the Raiders, right? Nothing. Yeah. What could go wrong against the Raiders?
Well, I believe, 3/500 in my Big Ten picks against the spread, which, you know, you got to hit 52.4%, so I think I'm right there, right at like
break even
par line. Yeah.
How many games do you play per week? I know you pick them all or most of them, but how many do you actually play yourself? I think that's important to get good at this. And Danny's right about price shopping, even though I haven't been very disciplined about that. I'll get better. In fact, I'm going to get better next week. Next Monday, let's start looking at the lines for the following week.
I do it every week.
But what rules do you deploy and stick to? Do you have any, or is just catch as catch can?
I mean, honestly, I'm more about the sports handicapping side than the wagering side. Not to say that I don't do any, but I really try to keep it modest. I mean, I was telling Danny about, a teaser, and I try to have fun with that. I think that's kind of a fun way to bet college football. You do a three-team teaser, you get the extra 6 points on all three sides, and then it's like, what, 100 to win 160 usually? I think that's kind of a good time.
Yeah, the thing with taking the extra 6 points in college as opposed to the NFL, like I prefer NFL teasers because the totals are lower, so
right.
6 points means
there's
more.
Less variance. The games are more 20-17 games than 41-24 games.
Yeah,
that does
like
make sense.
We were just talking. I'm going to Louisville for the Clemson Louisville game. The over under is 60. In the NFL, that's an astronomically high total that you basically never see, right? Like we just saw Chiefs Texans. That was the highest over under of the week. It was 54. Oh. That's just a normal ACC game. It's 60. 60 is not close to the highest total in a college football Saturday. So 6 points just means a lot more in the NFL than it does in college.
It's true. It's always that debate, too. I'm sure you guys deal with this. Do you follow the trends, or do you say some of these trends are meant to be broken?
I look at a trend only as a last resort.
Really?
I don't let it swing me too often, no.
So, like, the interesting one this week, I mean, Northwestern is an unbelievable underdog. 29-1 against the spread in the last 30. Yeah, and even against Ohio State, generally speaking, they keep it.
29-1 against the spread?
29-1.
What?
That would be a hell of a trend.
Yeah. Okay.
29-1. And
against
more recently,
the spread as an underdog.
Right. So they were getting 7.5 against Nebraska. Covered that one. Wisconsin covered easily. That should have been 24-17, but Fitz went for two twice. It was 24-15. They still covered easily. Now, this spread against Ohio State on Friday night opened at like 25.5, and it's already over 28. And yet I am still, I think for the column, I think I'm still taking the Buckeyes. So that's one of those ones where you just, it doesn't always follow.
Really?
Well,
still, huh?
Ohio State finally looks like a real team to me.
Woo! Amazing team on both sides of the ball and special teams.
Because, I've told you the last 2 years that you pick these Big Ten schools or Notre Dame to beat Clemson whomever in the playoff. And I'm like, no, they're not fast enough. This Ohio State team actually looks fast enough to me when I've seen them to compete with SEC or Clemson type schools.
Yeah, even on the Ryan Field grass that will hopefully be ankle or knee high. What's amazing about Ohio State is, okay, last year the defense really sucked for most of the season. I mean, they were ranked in the 60s and 70s, didn't resemble a playoff team, gave up 50-plus points to Maryland late in the season. The Ohio State defense is incredible now. Chase Young and all those guys are getting it done. And then here's the other part. Dwayne Haskins was so good last year, like in the Big Ten title game, threw for 499 yards against Northwestern Indianapolis. I would have thought there won't be another a better Big Ten quarterback here for a decade. And Justin Fields already might be better because of his threat to rush the ball, both on scrambles and design runs. So they are better on both sides. Coaching-wise, they haven't fallen off either. So that team won the Rose Bowl last year, and they are significantly better.
We should explain this, since we have so gambling becoming, not everybody has it as just second language to them. A texter wants to know, what's a teaser in gambling?
So a teaser?
You either buy points, or you could take more points, or you can give more points.
Right, so there's you could do a 6-point teaser, a 10-point teaser, you could do two teams, you could do three teams, but basically, so the Bears are 3.5-point favorites against the Saints this week. If you wanted to 6-point tease the Bears, instead of giving up 3.5, minus 3.5, Bears have to win by 4 or more, you would have Bears plus
2.5.
2.5. Yeah, thank you. It's the addition that always gets me. You really shouldn't tease across 0. That's not a very sharp thing to do.
Right.
But anyway, a lot of people will look, if a team is a 6.5-point favorite, say, you could tease them down to -0.5, and then they just have to win the game.
Or, if you're getting 1.5 and you can tease that up to 7.5, you feel really good. Of course, the odds then change. So if you have a 3-teamer, if it were a parlay, it would pay 6-1. Because you're not getting any points. But with a teaser, it might pay like 1.5-1.
Yeah.
What type of atmosphere are you expecting Friday night in Evanston? Mostly red and...
So much red, Danny. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of a nightmare scenario for Northwestern.
State home game.
Well, think about what's transpired so far this season. Northwestern has arguably the worst offense in America. Northwestern has thrown 2 touchdown passes this season. Justin Fields has thrown 18 touchdown passes. So Northwestern's terrible offensively. Defense is really good, but it's been a boring product to watch. Ohio State, meanwhile, you got Heisman Trophy candidates. You got an undefeated team. So if you live within 100 miles of Ryan Field and it's hard for you to get to Columbus, why would you not do everything you can to get to this game?
Well, and I mean, last year, and I'm sure you were at both of them too, you were probably at more of them than I was, but the home schedule for Northwestern was so awesome. Amazing. And I went to the Wisconsin game and the Notre Dame game. Both of those games were more than 50% fans of the opposing team.
Yeah, it's just one of those deals. I mean, I explain it as, look, nobody attends Northwestern because they're a football fan. Like, it's different at schools like Wisconsin or Ohio State. Like, that's part of the appeal that you go. And then people graduate from Northwestern and, are spread out all around the country, and it's only 2,000 kids. Ohio State, I think, has 15,000 graduates every year. So it's a numbers battle. But you know what? When Northwestern's good, like, I thought that Northwestern-Notre Dame crowd last year, I thought it was more Northwestern.
I mean, okay, 50, it was close, man. Yeah. I mean, it was certainly loud for both sides.
Right.
You know what I mean? Cause that was a night game that everybody got up for that game. That was a good crowd, but maybe 60, 40,
whatever, close,
it was very, very close.
Friday, Northwestern would kill for a 50-50. It's just such a kick in the nuts when the visiting team does something good and you hear this roar in the crowd, and that's going to happen a lot.
Yeah. Teddy Greenstein from the Tribune, the guy who gets all the cushy assignments for the sports section, is with us with McNeil and Parkins. I want to ask you about Fitz. With the two-point conversions you alluded to, what set him off in a post-game news conference this year? Because I want so bad to like Fitz. I do like Fitz. But he can't have it both ways. He wants Northwestern to be treated like something other than that cute school on the lake.
Yeah.
Put on our big boy pants. Yet he can't take the criticism sometimes.
So I would say this. I would not defend Fitz.
My email address is hashtag I don't care.
He's been a good quote this year.
That's the thing. So I wouldn't defend him on the choice of the two-point conversions. I thought that was goofy, especially when you have, like, the worst offense going against the best offense in Wisconsin. So I think you're only going to get your two-point conversions maybe 30% of the time, kick the extra point. Anyway, I find the whole feisty Fitz to be really fun. Like, to me, the worst coach to deal with is a guy like Lovey, who doesn't say anything, who's totally boring, who's, like, emotionless. You ask a question, and he just presses the play button. Fitz, to me, is great to deal with because you can have that interaction. And you can say, hey, can I see your play sheet? The one that he says dictates the analytics, go for it in two. And he says, yeah, nice try. He's funny in person. So you really should like him. The hashtag okay. I don't care thing, it's like, I guess a lot of fans, you know, see that or hear that and think, wow, this guy's being such a jerk. But I really think it's somewhat in jest. And I like an edgy coach. I like a guy who's going to say, you know, you're full of it, and here's why. Versus
I understand
somebody who's
there's 40,000 experts on Twitter that can call plays for me, so.
Yeah, I don't mind you that. Gotta, I like the emotion.
I don't know. I like emotion, too, Teddy. So I don't think this is me wanting it both ways, but it's just. He wants to be a big-time program, and he acts like that. If you don't care, then don't act like you care. It obviously upsets him. When he's criticized. 40,000 experts on Twitter. Hashtag, I don't. If you didn't care, you wouldn't be so upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, I think of him as having some of the thickest skin.
Really?
I really do.
Do you see him that way?
I see Fitz as king of the castle. Like, he knows that he has a job.
I have a chair.
King of the castle.
Like, I see him as king of the castle, where he's like, I know that I have a job for life here. And I know that every single offseason, I get overtures of other better jobs that would pay me more money that I am voluntarily turning down. So with that comes a healthy ego and a little bit of smugness that I can kind of relate to. Like, you know what I mean?
Hilarious.
Honestly, like, he's a guy who knows that he's really good at his job. And he is desired in his field. So what comes from that is arrogance.
Mac, I'll give you two choices. So Jim Harbaugh made some weird decisions in the Army game. It's a tie game early in the fourth quarter, and he passes up a field goal in a low-scoring game, and he has a good kicker on 4th-and-3, and it's still 10-10. Michigan doesn't get it. And afterwards, when he's asked about it, he just mumbles something. That's what the analytics said. That's the end of his answer. Fitz actually engages people and
did anybody
has a
follow
discussion.
It up? Did anyone follow up his answer? And
I wasn't there, but it's like talking to a brick wall. He's just boring. Like, I prefer to have a coach where there is give and take. Even if he's going to give me some crap, I can give him some crap, and I think that makes for a much better reporting experience.
I also think that Fitz is the guy where he's like, listen, I'm putting quarterbacks into the NFL. I'm getting 5 stars to transfer. We got a $270 million athletic complex that doesn't get built without me and where I have the program. You know, I do think that is like, how much better would, you know, Nick Saban have Northwestern football? You know, there is a very low ceiling on what Northwestern football can be. Yeah. And I think Fitz is approaching that ceiling. So I think when he gets questioned or things go poorly, he's like, oh, do you really want me to take another job? Are you going to enjoy 4 wins? You know, I do think that he has some of that to him.
The negative, I mean, here's another spot where I think you can be critical of Fitz. It's the Mark D'Antonio syndrome right now. It's the I've been here, I've had success, I don't need to change my offensive staff because that would be uncomfortable for me. So he's kept Mick McCall as offensive coordinator there, even though for the last 5-6 years, this offense finishes 93rd, 102nd, 86th, 104th. I mean, that's the part where I think if you're calling him arrogant, that's where it comes in. Now, look, they won the Big Ten West by 3 games last year. They didn't do it because of their offense. You know, in some ways, they did it in spite of their offense. But this is going to be the interesting offseason. Assuming they go have a season like 4-8, 5-7, even 6-6, he has to do something about this offense because there's an offensive revolution that has completely passed him by.
This segment brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Teddy Greenstein from the Tribune going to hang out. We want to talk some media and more nonsense with our friend Teddy G on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bottom of the hour on the Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale at NUSports.com. Teddy Greenstein hanging out with us for a little bit. Campbell at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, sorry. There are a couple of texters curious. We should, in the pursuit of balance, at least give it a few seconds here. The Fighting Illini have Wisconsin in Champaign. They've lost 4 in a row. People wanting to know when Lovie Smith gets fired. They extended
December
him after last
4th?
Year, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, this has got to be it. Although, I will give Illinois props. They were down 28-0 at halftime against Michigan, and then the score was 28-25, I think, or late third or early fourth. So give them props for not totally giving up, because when I was watching that game on TV before I left for South Bend, it looked like they didn't give a rat's. I mean, they weren't blocking. They weren't attempting to tackle. It looked like fire this guy at halftime.
They
were not attempting to
the
tackle
Matador
Michigan.
Technique.
I mean, I was like, this can't be a Lovie Smith defense. But that said, there's been basically no progress since he set foot on campus. Lovie doesn't have much of a presence. I hear the high school coaches don't feel like he's a big factor in their lives. Not like you have to be here. So they tried. It was probably worth a shot, and they got to do something else starting after the season.
Other than Rutgers, is there a worse job in the conference?
Illinois,
just football.
Illinois being in the West helps.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you could make a case that Maryland, Rutgers, and Indiana have it the worst just because they have to play Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State every year. But Illinois is a brutally tough job. It's obviously a basketball school. The
kind
atmosphere
of.
For football, it should
kind
be
of.
Should be a basketball school.
Remember 05, boy, was that fun.
Yeah. The atmosphere for football games is bad, and you don't really have a great recruiting area. The kids you're trying to get in Chicago are also being raided by Michigan, Notre Dame, Iowa, Wisconsin, Northwestern, et cetera.
That enough on Illinois football?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're good.
Absolutely. Well, we had a few Illini. People like to bitch, like we were talking about with officials Tuesday, yesterday, after the Monday night game. The Illini fans want their guy. They want him. They want him out.
That'll do it.
Exactly.
That wraps it up.
Exactly.
That
Thank
covers
you.
It.
All right, so you were a media critic for the Tribune for a while.
Yes,
and
sir.
How long did you have a Sports Illustrated byline?
Ooh, that was, I was there a little under 2 years.
Little under 2 years at Sports Illustrated. How do you feel about what has happened to a once great, not even sports magazine, but one of the greatest magazines ever printed?
Danny, I basically learned to read by reading SI. I definitely learned my love of sports writing. I remember when I was maybe 13 or 14, taking a bunch of issues and really basically reading every single word, falling in love with guys like Steve Rushen and Rick Riley and so many, more recently Tom Verducci and, all these great writers. And it sucks to levels that I can't even describe to see something that's being torn apart, by a bunch of greedy jerks. It's like, if you're not into media, don't buy Sports Illustrated. Aren't there other companies you can ruin, try to take apart? So it's really sad. Now, that said, Sports Illustrated, the management there, completely screwed up massively over the years. Think about this. Why didn't SI start The Athletic 5, 6, 7 years ago? They had the name. They had the writers. They could have done this where you have, a subscription fee of $4 or $5 a month for some of the best sports writing out there. They had bad websites. They did things like they diluted the importance of the cover by having regional covers. So being on the cover of SI all of a sudden didn't mean anything. So it's been incredibly sad. I still have some friends who work there, like Michael Rosenberg, who's a great writer. But I don't know. I don't know if I should cancel my subscription in protest or keep it to try to still support the people who are there.
Yeah, listen, if it still gives you, you know, any sort of satisfaction, you know, your protest, I always find those sort of things. Like, protest is obviously a valiant thing, and it's what one person can do, right? So it's not to minimize that, but you're not going to sink or swim Sports Illustrated. So if you still get enjoyment out of it, keep paying for it.
I wrote him a letter to the editor in 1977. I said, publish this or cancel my subscription. Ooh. They canceled my subscription. They did not publish. They managed to survive without me all those years.
What was the letter?
Steve Cawthon was named Sportsman of the Year. Jockey. And I was a high school athlete. And same age as Steve Cawthon at the time when Seattle Slew, was it? Won the Triple Crown, I think, in 77. Do I have the right horse?
I think so. That sounds good.
And I said, I'd love to run 40 yards against Steve Cawthon. I'd love to get him in the weight room. And they wouldn't print it. But they survived. It is sad, but the business is sad. You mentioned The Athletic. Is The Athletic going to survive, Teddy? Because other than people who work at The Score or The Tribune or The Sun-Times, people in media, I hear nobody where I go who talks about something they saw on The Athletic.
I hear you. It's so, Mac, the question you just asked me is the same question I ask every single person who might have some knowledge. Is it going to survive? It does seem like whenever I'm with groups of people who are kind of sports fans, I'll say, hey, what do you guys know about The Athletic? And it is kind of depressing that fewer people know about it / subscribe to it than I think should, because I think it's a great product. I mean, I also push our product. I think the Tribune Sports, we still do a hell of a job for what we have. So the question is, can we get people to pay for content? And most people do it for, you know, movies and programming and music. But
I don't hear people complaining about...
They're reluctant
about,
to do it for print.
Yeah, they really are.
For content. Yeah, they're just so used to getting it for free, they just bounce to whatever else is free.
To my surprise, I don't hear complaints about SiriusXM. And I thought I would, just like people, because I was there when cable came out and people, I'll never pay for now it's a car payment. But I $6 a month, whatever SiriusXM is, and it's a fabulous product, and people aren't complaining about it. People are getting it and they're liking it.
Well, I think there's a couple different reasons for that. Like, a lot of new cars come with automatics, you know, 6 months trial for Sirius.
So every car made in America does that. And when I learned that, that's when I first bought stock in SiriusXM when it was trading at $1.70 a share. Just signed Stern to a 5-year deal, and every car manufacturer was making that standard.
And so when you do that, it's you all of a sudden get hooked on it, and you're like, oh wow, commercial free music, unedited. And even though you have Spotify and your playlists and all of that, it's just unbelievably easy. So that's what gets people hooked on that, which is why the Tribune still allows people to read a few articles for free, and then you get put behind a paywall, and the same thing with The Athletic offering discounts and all of that. I think that my generation and younger is fine paying for content a la carte. That's what we're doing. You know, YouTube TV, cutting the cord, mixing and matching what you want. You want to pay for what you use, and you want to don't pay for what you don't. But the print industry seems to be cannibalizing itself because I think The Athletic is great. I subscribe, but I think they just said they just crossed, a million subscribers? They're in every sports market.
Yeah,
it's not that many subscribers when you think about, you know, they cover every baseball team, every NFL team, every college, you know. So it's not that many subscribers. I still hope and think it will work because it's such an unbelievably good product. But there's so much out there for free, and there is still money in free online advertising. Not a lot, but there is some, that until there's some uniformity in that print business to say we're putting this all behind a paywall.
Yeah.
You know, and unless it's a matter of national security.
Right.
Then you make that
like
free.
Most of my wagering columns.
Of course. Absolutely. Right. You know, as a public trust, I absolutely believe that if there was a bomb scare or something, the Tribune should put that out for free, obviously. But Rich Campbell's film review for the Bears, you shouldn't be able to get that for free.
Yes.
Ever. You should have to pay for it.
Yeah. And we have changed on that. Now I think it is one free article per month. It's I get on my neighbor sometimes.
Choose wisely.
My buddy Greg, I see him a couple weeks ago, and he says, hey, who you like in the Big Ten this week? I'm like, oh, my column just published. And he goes, I'm out of free stories for the month.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you make like $150 a year. I mean, splurge. But it doesn't actually occur to him. Like, he's not thinking I'm being a cheapskate by not subscribing. He's thinking, I'll just find Yahoo's picks.
Well, exactly. Yeah. There's so many people that are offering it. And that's, I don't see a scenario where that stops. The internet is, the barrier of entry is zero.
Yeah.
Which is what makes the internet a free marketplace of ideas.
Honestly, when newspapers fold, so let's say a city like, I don't know, Cincinnati or Pittsburgh or Cleveland or places like that, if there's no newspaper and The Athletic becomes really the only source for sports news, I think it'll probably succeed in those cities. I mean, what's cool about that site is there's not pop-up ads and those annoying videos. I mean, does anybody really give their money to whoever is presenting those videos or ads? I just think they're such a distraction. I mean, we're trying to get subscribers, and we put out a good content. You know, we put out a lot of good stuff, and I hope the readers are able to fight through that stuff. But I would say, everybody listening, man, if you're not paying money for any kind of publication, it's all going to go away. So please consider doing it.
We talk about announced teams all the time. Danny and I love the conversation. Your thoughts on Monday Night Football on ESPN in a Wittenless world? It's just Joe Tessitore, the always excited Joe Tessitore, yeah. 3rd and 12, and Booger McFarland. What do you think?
Booger was all over the refs on Monday. I mean, I like a guy who doesn't worry about, oh, God, I kind of work for the NFL and I got to make them happy. And I mean, he was just, you know, calling out those bad calls on the phantom hands to the face. I think they're fine. I don't think they're fantastic. I mean, I love Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth. I think Chris Collinsworth is a god.
That's Parkin's team.
Yeah. So I give those guys an A+, and I give the Monday night team a, I don't know, B+ or B. I mean, they certainly don't prevent me from watching the game.
No, they'll never prevent me from watching the game, but it's Monday Night Football. It's Monday. Where's the sex appeal? Where's the Q rating in that booth? This is Monday Night Football.
I hear you.
Monday Night Football, we've talked about it. It doesn't have that anymore.
Really?
That's part of the reason why, though. Put an A-team in there.
It's part of it, but I don't think it's the biggest part. We watch Thursday Night Football, which is now every week,
no doubt.
And then we watch college football on Saturday.
Or Friday night games, college football. Yeah. It's 4 out of 7 nights now.
And then all day on Sunday, there's a little bit of oversaturation by the time you get to Monday. And because they can't flex schedule.
Right. Some of the games are dogs.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to get Peyton Manning. They were willing to give him anything he wanted.
If you had Manning and if you had a household name who gave you a real clean play-by-play, and Al Michaels, Tessitore's, but no one knew who the hell he was when he came in last year.
Maybe you guys know this, though. Has there ever been any study to show that a broadcast team has a discernible impact on ratings? Because I don't believe that's why Sunday Night Football is the highest rated game of the week. It's because they get the best games. Right? I don't think like, if Al Michaels got sick and Chris Collinsworth, you know, got his flight delayed,
yes,
and it was Mike Tirico and Rodney Harrison on Sunday Night Football, I don't believe the ratings would go down.
Love me some Mike Tirico. Right. In the old days, Monday Night Football was a king. I mean, Howard Cosell, people hate watched him, you know? I mean, half
but
the
there
people
are also less options back
no
in the
question.
Day. You know, like,
no, it's an interesting one. Also, I think a big deal with NBC and Sunday night is I think their hour-long pregame show, Football Night in America, is really, really good. Like, I DVR that every single time. That's how I catch up on Sunday games that I might have missed, and then it leads into a game. So I think that helps tremendously.
So you occasionally miss games on Sunday. So you have a life outside of the NFL?
My kids play soccer.
Man, I've read about people like you.
I wasn't going to ask this question because I think I know your answer. Danny and I have talked about it from time to time. A guy just texted us. He says, I'm majoring in journalism and I want to get into sports journalism specifically. What advice have you for him, Teddy Greenstein?
Well,
go back
Neil.
And be a lawyer. Useful for a living.
What I always tell people is the bad news about coming out now is that there are so few, you know, kind of high-paying jobs. Like when I came out of Northwestern in 1994, I was able to get the Daily News and Sports Illustrated and the Tribune because people were hiring. The good news about being a young sports writer now is if you're really, really good, people will notice you. So you don't need a publication. You need a Twitter handle. You know, you can write columns off anything you want. And if you're good enough, I think of a guy like Roger Sherman. I don't know if you know about him. He's incredibly funny. I mean, a few years ago, he was He was just writing for like a Northwestern fan site. But his talent is such that people are like, wow, this guy's awesome. And he's got probably 50,000 Twitter followers. And if you produce great content, somebody will publish it and then you can get yourself known.
Yeah, it is okay. It is a tough sell, though, to actually
what I now say is
don't go all in on it. Like, diversify your interests or your skill set, or double major. Like, if you're going to major in journalism, major, double major in business or something else, so that you have that fallback. And then I also say, if you can't see yourself being happy doing anything else, then go for it. But if you're like, I think I might try sports media. No, then don't. Then take a higher paying gig. Honestly.
Yeah, that sounds adorable. For me, I was a classic, you know, my parents wanted me to go to law school, and I couldn't envision that life for myself. Now we're getting back into rounders, and we're getting into the, you know, judge and all that kind of thing. So for me, there really wasn't a good option, hopefully there will still continue to not be a good one.
Kid, is he paying you for this late night stuff?
Knowledge is my reward, sir. Teddy, thanks for coming in, buddy.
Enjoyed it, guys.
See you, Teddy G. Thank you.
This segment brought to you by Amco Total Transmission and Car Care. Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care offers up to 12 months interest-free payment plans, and their exclusive powertrain system check is free. Search AAMCO for a location near you. That's Amco Transmissions and a whole lot more. You said Mitch was chipper. We should hear it before Rich Campbell joins us on The Score.
I was told not to talk about the last game. We're moving on.
We are moving on, Mitch Trubisky.
Is that after Denver?
That was...
Or after Green Bay?
It was...
That was this year, I know.
It was this year. I thought it was after Denver, before the Washington game.
Makes sense.
Because they were so conservative in that game plan.
Yeah.
Was that not...
No, I think it was after they lost to the Packers.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it was the week following that loss.
It was the long week.
It was the Thursday and then a 10-day wait for redemption. So I'm told not to talk about it.
That's great.
Well, Troops was a buzz today up in Lake Forest. He was. The best word to describe his tone, and I heard the whole thing, chipper.
Okay, well, so let's – Tanny picked out the relevant details. Let's hear from the quarterback before we talk to Rich Campbell at 4.
Coming out of the bye week then, as you guys try to get this offense going, you know, as Matt has said, the numbers don't lie and you guys are where you are. What can you do? You know, what are your focuses here?
Yeah, definitely.
Your play.
Just go back to what I know how to do. Work as hard as you possibly can. Make sure everyone's buying into the plan. And now you look at the results, but you can't dwell on those because we know what type of talent we have on offense. And it's just it comes down to cold-blooded execution. Is all 11 guys on the same page, doing their job, blocking the guys, going through my reads, getting the ball to the playmakers, and then using our natural ability to make plays. So. Finding those solutions to why we haven't been putting up the numbers that we know we can, and just going out there and working as hard as we possibly can and making sure everyone's bought in to that. And I know we got the right guys to do it, so it's just a matter of sticking to the process.
What were some of the things you think you guys were doing well before you got hurt that you want to kind of build off?
Yeah, there were more flashes of anything. I think the main thing we got to do is definitely show consistency, but we had some plays where we had some big play potential, or we had some drives that we had some good plays, and then we kind of sputtered out and didn't finish the drives. We had some drives where we were good on second and third down, but we were so bad on first down that we put ourselves in a hard position to really convert and keep going. So I always tell the guys the first down is usually the toughest for us. So once we get that, we kind of get rolling, we gain some confidence, and we get going. So it's always one play at a time, but you really want to be good on first down and to give yourself a good chance to get going. So hopefully we'll have some things that open up, and we look at what we did the first couple games with some of the concepts, the runs, and what everyone's comfortable with, and get those going and get on the same page and make sure that we're just executing. So, because that's pretty much what it all comes down to. If all 11 guys are doing their job and we got enough talent to make it happen, we just got to believe in it.
Cold-blooded execution, that is.
That is light on specifics.
You think?
That is light on specifics.
But very, very high in enthusiasm and cliche.
Yes, absolutely.
We got to get our playmakers making plays. We got to block guys. We got to get some time. We got to make my reads. I got to do things.
Just got to work hard.
Don't forget about buying in.
Buying in.
So important.
I got to get everybody buying in. True enough point, though, about first down. First down's a good down to get some yards on.
Absolutely.
I like first down going that way, not backwards.
All right, so I missed it earlier. That was the first time I heard that. You're right. That was spirited. That was positive. I can't help but compare how Deshaun Watson sounded when he was talking about the intricacies of reading defense and all that, but I'm going to move on. I'm going to try. Yes. I'm going to try not to do that.
Judge him by what he does, not what he says. He did say today, if he goes, there will be no restriction in his game, at least according to him. If I can play, no restrictions. Hub pressed him on his pain level, and he said when he's throwing, his left shoulder, the non-throwing shoulder, doesn't bother him. He's pretty comfortable with that. Hasn't taken a hit, doesn't know how he'll respond to it, but he says if I play, there's no restrictions. I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to play football.
Rich Campbell was at Hallis Hall, Bears beat reporter for the Tribune. His take on Trubisky today and going forward, the Bears defense without Akeem Hicks, and another ominous update on Trey Burton coming up on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.